February 14th. Our Bible reading today in the Old Testament will come from the book of Exodus, chapter 37, verse 1, to chapter 38, verse 31. Each aspect of the making of the tabernacle is mentioned in detail because each part was important to God. God gave the plan, and He also gave the workers the wisdom needed to do the job right. There's nothing wrong with dedicated artistry, for God built beauty into His tabernacle. God wants skillful hands as well as dedicated hearts. Moses was careful to inspect the work to see that it was just what God had commanded. And by the way, the word commanded is found 17 times in these chapters. Moses was faithful as the servant of God to do what God told him to do. Again, we see the principle of obedience being played out here, and that obedience being connected to blessing. If you haven't felt blessed lately, perhaps you might consider if you've actually been walking in obedience. That is the place of blessing. Outside God's general blessing, you know, the earth that we enjoy, the sun, the rain, the food, the sleep, all that, outside God's general blessing on humanity, His covenant blessing is only for those who are in covenant with Him, God's children. And that means we walk in obedience if we want to receive that blessing. Chapter 39 ends by saying, "And Moses blessed them." Have you taken time lately to bless those who have done the will of God in serving you? And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. February 14th, Exodus chapter 37, verse 1, to chapter 38, verse 31. Next, Bezalel made the ark out of acacia wood. It was 3 1/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high. It was overlaid with pure gold inside and out, and it had a molding of gold all the way around. 4 gold rings were fastened to its 4 feet, 2 rings at each side. Then he made poles from acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He put the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to carry it. Then, from pure gold, he made the ark's cover, the place of atonement. It was 3 3/4 feet long and 2 1/4 feet wide. He made 2 figures of cherubim out of hammered gold and placed them at the 2 ends of the atonement cover. They were made so they were actually a part of the atonement cover. It was all one piece. The cherubim faced each other as they looked down on the atonement cover, and their wings were stretched out above the atonement cover to protect it. Then he made a table out of acacia wood, 3 feet long, 1 1/2 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high. It was overlaid with pure gold, with a gold molding all around the edge. A rim, about 3 inches wide, was attached along the edges of the table, and a gold molding ran around the rim. Then he cast 4 rings of gold and attached them to the 4 table legs next to the rim. These were made to hold the carrying poles in place. He made the carrying poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. Next, using pure gold, he made the plates, dishes, bowls, and pitchers to be placed on the table. These utensils were to be used in pouring out drink offerings. Then he made the lampstand, again using pure hammered gold. Its base, center stem, lamp cups, blossoms, and buds were all of one piece. The lampstand had 6 branches, 3 going out from each side of the center stem. Each of the 6 branches held a cup shaped like an almond blossom, complete with buds and petals. The center stem of the lampstand was also decorated with 4 almond blossoms. 1 blossom was set beneath each pair of branches, or they extended from the center stem. The decorations and branches were all one piece with the stem, and they were hammered from pure gold. He also made the 7 lamps the lamp snuffers, and the trays, all of pure gold. The entire lampstand, along with its accessories, was made from 75 pounds of pure gold. The incense altar was made of acacia wood. It was 18 inches square and 3 feet high, with its corner horns made from the same piece of wood as the altar itself. He overlaid the top, sides, and horns of the altar with pure gold and ran a gold molding around the edge. Two gold rings were placed on opposite sides, beneath the molding, to hold the carrying poles. The carrying poles were made of acacia wood and were overlaid with gold. Then he made the sacred oil for anointing the priests and the fragrant incense, using the techniques of the most skilled incense maker. The altar for burning animal sacrifices also was constructed of acacia wood. It was 7.5 feet square at the top and 4.5 feet high. There were four horns, one at each of the four corners, all of one piece with the rest. This altar was overlaid with bronze. Then he made all the bronze utensils to be used with the altar: the ash buckets, shovels, basins, meat hooks, and fire pans. Next, he made a bronze grating that rested on a ledge about halfway down into the firebox. Four rings were cast for each side of the grating to support the carrying poles. The carrying poles themselves were made of acacia wood and were overlaid with bronze. These poles were inserted into the rings at the side of the altar. The altar was hollow and was made from planks. The bronze wash basin and its bronze pedestal were cast from bronze mirrors donated by the women who served at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then he constructed the courtyard. The south wall was 150 feet long. It consisted of curtains made of fine linen. There were 20 posts, each with its own bronze base, and there were silver hooks and rods to hold up the curtains. The north wall was also 150 feet long, with 20 bronze posts and bases, and with silver hooks and rods. The west end was 75 feet wide. The walls were made from curtains, supported by 10 posts and bases, and with silver hooks and rods. The east end was also 75 feet wide. The courtyard entrance was on the east side, flanked by two curtains. The curtain on the right side was 22.5 feet long and was supported by three posts set into three bases. The curtain on the left side was also 22.5 feet long and was supported by three posts set into three bases. All the curtains used in the courtyard walls were made of fine linen. Each post had a bronze base, and all the hooks and rods were silver. The tops of the posts were overlaid with silver, and the rods to hold up the curtains were solid silver. The curtain that covered the entrance to the courtyard was made of fine linen cloth and embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. It was 30 feet long and 7.5 feet high, just like the curtains of the courtyard walls. It was supported by four posts set into four bronze bases. The tops of the posts were overlaid with silver, and the hooks and rods were also made of silver. All the tent pegs used in the tabernacle and courtyard were made of bronze. Here is an inventory of the materials used in building the tabernacle of the covenant. Moses directed the Levites to compile the figures, and Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest, served as recorder. Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, was in charge of the whole project, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. He was assisted by Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman expert at engraving, designing, and embroidering blue, purple, and scarlet yarn on fine linen cloth. The people brought gifts of gold, totaling about 2,200 pounds, all of which was used throughout the tabernacle. The amount of silver that was given was about 7,545 pounds. It came from the tax of 1/5 of an ounce of silver, collected from each of those registered in the census. This included all the men who were 20 years old or older, 603,550 in all. The 100 bases for the frames of the sanctuary walls and for the posts supporting the inner curtain required 7,500 pounds of silver, about 75 pounds for each base. The rest of the silver, about 45 pounds, was used to make the rods and hooks and to overlay the tops of the posts. The people also brought 5,310 pounds of bronze, which was used for casting the bases for the posts at the entrance to the tabernacle and for the bronze altar with its bronze grating and altar utensils. Bronze was also used to make the bases for the posts that supported the curtains around the courtyard, the bases for the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard, and all the tent pegs used to hold the curtains of the courtyard in place. February 14th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. Here's what we'll find there. It's the message of the empty tomb. And that message is, do not be afraid. Jesus is saying, I'm going before you, and I've got this covered. See, he overcomes his enemies. In his death and resurrection, our Lord defeated the world, and he defeated the flesh and death itself along with the devil. You need not be afraid of life or death, time or eternity. Jesus says, if a man or woman keeps my saying, he or she shall never see death. Wow, what a promise. And you can rest in the fact that he keeps his promises. Because his followers forgot his resurrection promise, they were sorrowing instead of rejoicing. The Lord always keeps his promises, no matter how dark the day may be. And he goes before you. We'll learn about that as we read here today in Matthew chapter 28. When the women ran to share the message, well, they met the Lord. You always meet him in the path of obedience. The shepherd goes before the sheep and prepares the way for them. You have a living and victorious Savior who has everything under control. So the command is very simple. Trust him. He is our Lord. He has all authority under heaven and on earth. He commands us to take the gospel to all nations, and he promises to be with us as we go, always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What more assurance could we want? We are his ambassadors and should be faithful to him in all things. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. February 14th. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they ran to him, held his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way into the city, some of the men who had been guarding the tomb went to the leading priests and told them what had happened. A meeting of all the religious leaders was called, and they decided to bribe the soldiers. They told the soldiers, "You must say, 'Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body.' If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you, and everything will be all right." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them still doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Psalm 34, verses 11 through 22. "I will teach." David wanted the next generation to know the Lord and to trust him. He gave some wise counsel about how to have good days, and he urged them to call on the Lord in the time of trouble. God's eyes see your needs. God's ears hear your prayers. And God is near you when your heart is broken. When God does something special for you, tell somebody else. The next generation needs to know that God is alive. Psalm 34, verses 11 through 22. "Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Do any of you want to live a life that is long and good? Then watch your tongue. Keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous face many troubles, but the Lord rescues them from each and every one. For the Lord protects them from harm. Not one of their bones will be broken. Calamity will surely overtake the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. Everyone who trusts in him will be freely pardoned." Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. "Teach the wise, and they will be wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn more. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing the Holy One results in understanding.